Let me sit over. I'm going to take this chair.
Yeah, no, absolutely. If you want to face me or something like that. So I'm just going to have this up in your face a little bit closer than you're probably used to. Yeah. Can you just tell me what you ate for breakfast today?
Breakfast, I had knockoff Honey Bunches of Oats and almond milk.
Here Be Monsters, the podcast about
an issue with feeling significant.
The podcast about
the unknown.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. Can you introduce yourself?
Jacob.
How do you want to be identified?
You can identify me as an aspiring sophisticate.
It's a pretty big smile.
Yeah. Does that work?
Absolutely. That's one of the better responses I've ever heard to that question. We've been talking about this story for a bit here, and you've been kind of elusive about it. I don't really know what you're going to say.
No, it's a legitimate story.
Any background that you want to share about it?
I think I just have an issue with feeling significant, which will come out throughout the whole story. Which, I don't know, I suppose lots of people do, and it catches me a lot. I'll just go stare at the stars and think about how far away everything is and how short a time span I'm here compared to any star that I'm looking at. And, you know, suddenly I get kind of down and wonder what I'm doing at a 9-to-5. And anyways, it's always passing, at least so far, but on this day, I guess I had to talk about it. I went to a MDMA assisted therapy session. MDMA is ecstasy, same stuff. And it's a heart opener. That's what the drug is if you speak to therapists. And it's used, it's really good for people with like post-traumatic stress disorder. Essentially, it elevates your mood, you know, the way ecstasy does, and allows you to talk about things that you would just shut down otherwise if you weren't on this drug. Oprah's even done an article about it, about MDMA-assisted therapy. I don't have post-traumatic stress disorder or anything like that. I was just doing it for fun. It's not legal yet, but there's studies ongoing to try to make this legal. Legal again. It was legal for a time. Anyways, so I just went and did it for fun. It's a long session. It's like 6 hours. You take the medicine as a tea. You put it in the tea and you drink it. So it kind of takes away the stigma of popping a pill and going to a party. You know, keeps it in a therapy setting. It's in this nice room. It's got candles burning. And it's kind of a hippie thing, so the way you had it set up. And so I was there. I was in this room, sitting on a bunch of pillows. You know, there's low light, candles around. I didn't have much to say, or I ran out of things to say, and he just said, "Well, just explain how you're feeling." So I sat there on these pillows and, you know, closed my eyes and took some deep breaths and, you know, feeling my surroundings and started to feel heavy and just feeling sunk deep into these pillows, just really grounded. I'm like sitting with that feeling of groundedness and heavy, and in my mind it started to switch to the point where I was feeling so well grounded and so heavy that it wasn't me grounding to the earth, but it was the earth pushing into me. I was the stone, and the earth was grounding to me. That makes you feel significant, right? You can have the whole world pushing into you. If you can put yourself really in that perspective, it's like you're something special at that point. So I'm sitting there and I'm feeling this whole earth pushing into me, and it's really good, and my perspective widens. You know, it's not, the feeling's not real visceral. The room was quiet, and I was just listening to my thoughts. I'm feeling light, and the earth, you know, no longer grounding to me. I start to float away from the earth, because I lost my ground in this. The tsunami in Japan had recently occurred, and they talked about the earthquake changing the orbit of the earth, because so much of the earth was displaced that they were able to measure an actual change in the orbit of the earth. So I was thinking, you know, in my logical, scientific mind, that as I floated away, my mass actually shifted the earth. Just me not being there versus me being there moved the whole earth in immeasurable amount.
5, 4, 3, 2.
Suddenly I was feeling real good about myself again. I felt significant. I was able to move the whole earth, right? It occurred to me that, you know, it didn't matter. Like I was able to shift the whole earth, but, you know, it'll continue on, and it doesn't change anything. I would have actually moved it by floating away from it, but it'll continue on its course, essentially the same. I'm just gonna go. I flew away, you know, as I'm sitting on this pillow, flying away, and I went out to the edge of the solar system and did a lap around Saturn. Came back to see what was going on. As I came in, everyone was there. Like, my friends were there, and my family was there, and you know, I sat and I saw all their faces, and I thought about each of them. I don't know, not quite individually, but a lot of them I recognize as good friends and as people that would have missed me when I was gone, and they did. And I came back, and they were there waiting for me, wondering where I was and ready to accept me back into groundedness and the earth, and they were welcoming me back. And that was a real good feeling. And that's, I guess if I get down, or when I've gotten down, that's an easy thing to go visualize and cheer myself back up. It's just this large group of people that are welcoming me back. You know, suddenly I felt significant again. You know, I was gone, but people missed me when I was gone. So I came back, and I, in my mind, they settled back down in the earth, but not sitting on it, and not sitting on me, but kind of like laying on my side and it next to me. You're important because of the people whose lives you're in.
So then what's the moral in your life?
Well, that's what I'm searching for still.
How did that day change you?
Yeah, the next day I felt good. I felt really good about recognizing that it's the people in your life that get that makes you significant, that creates value in your own life. The people whose lives you are in value you, and that gives value to your own life. But. And it does, it certainly does, and that's a nice thing to recognize. I don't know, you can only take that so far, I guess.
What about this bike trip coming up?
The bike trip? Well, that's I'm taking that trip to find the real answers.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm going to try to ride my bike around the world for a year. And part of the reason why I really wanted to take this trip in the first place is I was dating a woman at the time, and she wanted kids. You know, she wanted kids in like 3 years, and I wasn't able to give her an answer on that day if in 3 years I would be ready or if I would ever be ready. And that's kind of what ended the relationship, because she didn't want to wait around for me to decide, and then if I said no, be too old to make it happen. So, you know, shortly after the end of that relationship, the idea of this bike trip came, and figure out what I wanted and what a significant life is, what that is, what it means to live a significant life, or what makes a life significant.
Do you think you'd do that type of therapy again?
I've done it, you know, twice in the therapy and a couple of times outside, and I've never noticed it too much, to tell you the truth. Like, hardly at all. The first time in therapy, like, my jaw got super tight, which is a typical side effect of MDMA. And the second time, as soon as I drank the tea, I had a flashback of my jaw getting super tight. It took like a month to loosen up. And I'm like, oh gosh, what did I just do? I don't want to go through that again. But it didn't happen the second time. And, you know, would I have come up with that story if I was just sitting there sober? I don't know. But it's not like the drug took me out of this world.
And I guess figuratively it did. Yeah.
Figuratively it did. It's true.
What's Katie think about all this?
I don't know. I think she's fine with it. And I told her it on our, I don't know, second date. I told her this story of searching for significance and flying off to Saturn and having my friends welcome me back. So, I don't know. I guess she's all right with it.
Yeah. Anything else we need to know?
No. I think that about covers it.
Well, thanks, Jacob.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. Jacob is currently working on a fictional account of his trip to Saturn in the form of a children's picture book. For lack of a better word, his illustrations are really otherworldly and really beautiful, and I've actually posted a couple of them up over on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/hearbemonstersradio. Music on the show this week, mostly from a new musical collaborator. He is from Portland, Oregon, and goes by the name Flower Petal Downpour, and he's got some pretty neat tracks up here on SoundCloud. There's a link to his work down in the comments. Music this week, also from The Black Spot. If you liked what you heard on the show today, consider doing the show a favor. Download the show and send it to a friend. That's it. So, for Here Be Monsters, I'm Jeff Emmon, and as always, thanks for listening.